Chapter 5. Can you tell me what's going on here? General Kian Farlander stood on the bridge of Monadapine, bent in conference with one of his captains, a spike-headed Elaman named Kartha. He turned briefly toward Jaina, a grim expression on his face, and said, "Just a minute, Jaina. This is important." Jaina had a hard time imagining anything more important than whether or not Supreme Overlord Shimra had just been turned into a chunk of charred space debris, but she bit back her reply and crossed the bridge to where Madurin waited. The Angst Jedi stood more than 4 meters tall, with a thick tail that balanced her massive body and pointed head. She had volunteered for the war against the Yuuzhan Vong, but could hardly be crammed into the cockpit of a starfighter. The bridge of Monadapine was far better suited to her. "What happened?" Jaina demanded. "What's going on?" "I don't know any more than you do." Madurin sent reassurance to Jaina through the Force. "It's all right. We did extremely well. We won. We took the offensive and we won. For the first time." Jaina took a breath and tried to calm her outraged nerves. "Thanks, but what about Shimra?" "You saved a lot of lives today," Madurin reminded her. "You saved us when you realized the Yuuzhan Vong were using a second Yamask." She inclined her long pointed head toward the Elaman officer speaking to Farlander. "You saved Kartha's life, for one. He was captain of the Pulsar."
"Was."
"Pulsar was one of the Corellian gunships. Was that the one she'd seen out of control?"
"Pulsar's completely disabled. We'll have to scuttle her. The general's making arrangements for bringing off the crew and getting medical attention to the wounded."
"The wounded?" Jaina had been so completely focused on combat that she had forgotten about the price of the battle, the bloody toll of even a victorious fight. She straightened. She didn't want to think about the dead and wounded now. Her service had to be to the living, and her focus on victory.
"The kill ratios were very much in our favor," Jaina said.
"Yes," Madurin said, "they were." Jaina scanned the bridge as she waited for Kartha and Farlander to conclude their conference. Though there were many different species aboard the cruiser, from the human Kian Farlander on down, the bridge crew was made up entirely of Mon Cals. The brilliant display monitors, with their strange distortions, were configured for Mon Calamari eyes, and the chairs and instrument panels were adapted to their amphibious physiology. The bridge architecture, with its shell-like, scalloped design, suggested a peaceful subaquatic grotto. So different, Jaina thought, from the hard, geometric shapes of starfighter controls, let alone the strange, melting organic patterns of her captured Yuuzhan Vong frigate. Other captains entered while Farlander spoke with Kartha. Last of all came Queen Mother Tenel Ka, sweeping under the bridge with her female Hapen captains echelonned behind her, and dressed in a magnificent sky-blue admiral's uniform covered with gold insignia and braid, her red-brown hair tied back by a glittering royal diadem. Jaina looked at her old classmate in surprise. She was more used to seeing Tenel's lithe, muscular body clad in the reptile-skin tunic of a Dathomirian witch-warrior. This sleek look was something new. The ruler of 63 planets clearly outranked a Jedi Knight, because General Farlander broke off his conference with Captain Kartha, approached Tenel Ka, and gave a bow.
"Your Majesty," he said, "your fleet's arrival was well-timed."
"The timing was yours," Tenel replied.
She turned her gray eyes to Kartha,
"and the casualties, too."
"Hapes has taken many casualties on behalf of the New Republic," Farlander said. "We hoped to spare you more."
"You've spared us political embarrassment as well."
Tenel Ka gave Farlander a frank look. "We can present this to our people as a nearly bloodless victory," she continued. "This will aid our alliance. Fact, we are profoundly grateful." That was the royal we, Jaina thought. Tenel Ka was fitting with surprising ease into her new role as queen. We should return to the Hapes Cluster before our loyal subjects learn we're not, as we claimed, on a routine fleet exercise. Tenel went on, but first I'd like to know, was that Shimra we killed or not? The eye had been a slip, Jaina thought, indicating just how much Tenel had invested in the answer. Farlander quirked an eyebrow. I think I can guess how New Republic intelligence made the mistake, he said. They know that Supreme Overlord Shimra is moving from the Rim to his new capital of Coruscant. They received a report that a Yuuzhan Vong Big Shot, commanding a fleet, was due in the Abroa Sky System to consult the library. They put two and two together and came up with 17. He shrugged. Resistance units on the ground on Abroa Sky just confirmed that the enemy commander was someone named Supreme Commander Kam Karsh. Supreme Commander. Tenel's look was thoughtful. A rank second only to War Master. Still a notable victory. Yes, Majesty, General Farlander said. There was relief in his eyes. I'm relieved as well. I put this operation together in the absence of any instructions from my superiors. His eyes flicked to Jaina. And at the urging of one of my officers, who, even if she is a goddess, is still rather junior. Tenel Ka gave Jaina an appraising look. Goddess, she said. You can call me Great One, Jaina said. Most people do. Partly as a propaganda exercise and partly because it suited the role she had played in the war so far, the New Republic military had gone out of its way to behave toward Jaina as if she were an emanation of the Yuuzhan Vong trickster goddess, Yun Harla. They hoped to take advantage of Yuuzhan Vong's superstition about twins, or to outrage the Orthodox and drive them into an ill-judged frenzy. Jaina couldn't say whether this was working or not, but she had found the goddess routine amusing, for at least the first 10 minutes. After that, it had become a drudgery. Tenel Ka's words were thoughtful. Does a mere mortal queen dare to hug a goddess? You have our permission, Jaina said. Tenel crossed the deck between them and embraced Jaina with her single arm, hard enough so that Jaina's breath went out of her. General Farlander tactfully cleared his throat. Majesty, Great One, I'd like to proceed with the conference, if we may, he said. Kam Karsh may have called for reinforcements before his death, and I'd like to get out of this system while I'm ahead. Sensible, Tenel Ka said. Tenel bade farewell to Madurin, and then she and the captains retired to the cruiser's conference room, a seashell-shaped room with subdued, shimmering blue lighting that presented the illusion of being underwater. The room's central table was a gleaming work of art, subtly curved, gleaming like mother-of-pearl beneath the hushed lights. Tenel Ka, walking with easy dignity, took her place before the seat of honor. At her nod, everyone took their seats. The captains first presented damage and casualty reports. Jaina was pleased to report that her unit had suffered no losses and her ship only minor harm. And then there was discussion of what to do with Far Thunder, a Republic-class cruiser that had suffered significant damage, including damage to its hyperspace drives. Farlander was inclined to abandon and scuttle the ship. But Far Thunder's Captain Hanser argued forcefully that he could repair his ship given time, and Farlander finally gave his assent. Far Thunder would be evacuated except for command, drive, and damage control crews, then make a micro-jump out of the Obroa Sky System under escort by the Lancer-class frigate. A tender would be sent with the necessary spare parts to rendezvous with Far Thunder, and, with any luck, preserve the Kuat System's cruiser for future encounters with the Yuuzhan Vong. "We'll hope to see you at Kashi-Ik," Farlander told Hanser. "Kashi-Ik?" Tenel Ka was surprised. "Why Kashi-Ik?" "We're shifting our base there, Majesty," Farlander said. "We want to be able to defend that section of the Midrim
yet still be close enough to offer you assistance at Hapes if you should come again under attack.
Tennell nodded.
Your long-term plans?
Farlander looked uncertain. The fact is that we've received no instructions from headquarters since the fall of Borlias. I'm making everything up as I'm going along.
Tennell frowned. Who is your immediate superior?
Admiral Trieste Kreethe. But he is a relative of Borsk Felia, and was compelled to return to Bathawi for the period of official mourning.
Jaina lifted one eyebrow, but otherwise remained silent. She couldn't bring herself to mourn the late chief of state, but she supposed someone had to.
Kian Farlander clasped his hands and leaned forward across the conference table.
"Please understand, Majesty," he said. "I hope that we may once more operate together against our common enemy. I will cooperate with you to the utmost of my power, and if the Hapes cluster is again attacked, I hope you will feel free to call for my assistance. But I can't speak for my superiors, and I may be superseded at any time."
"Understood," Tennell said.
Uncertainty dogged them all, Jaina thought. She had hoped, with a strike at the enemy leader, to bring things into focus, but her target had been a phantom, and even though a victory had been won, it was hard to say, in the fog of doubt, just what even such a victory really meant.